Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Daryl Urbanski, your host as always. And today we are joined by Dave Miz, the founder and CEO of The Email Experience, a leading email and SMS marketing agency specializing in helping seven and eight-figure e-commerce brands boost revenue. With over 110 million in client revenue generated, David's hyper-personalized approach has driven impressive results for brands like Jocko Fuel, Dose of Colors, and ClickFunnels. His six-part system focuses on deep audits, customer journey overhauls, and perpetual optimization to improve profitability, lower CAC, and increase ROAS. I've asked Dave to join us here today to share his story and how we can use email and SMS marketing to take our businesses to the next level. So, David, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing, man?
Thanks for having me. Doing good, man. Doing good.
We had a little bit of a hype up pep talk. I'm
Not
like,
as good as you, though.
yeah, I know. I'm excited about what I go on, but this is your podcast and we're talking about this. And so how did you even get into marketing? Was this a family trade? Were you sitting around the dinner table and your dad be like, Dave, here, sell me this pen? Is that how it started?
No, definitely not. I think probably just like you and probably everybody in the industry, we just Googled like how to make money on the internet, or at some point, and then you went down the rabbit hole. So when I did it was probably back in 2000, 2000, 2001. And so I Googled like how to make money on the internet. And then I started getting on these websites, like selling different products like ebooks. And at one point, and it was mostly by this guy named Mark Joyner. I'm sure Mark, maybe you're friends with him.
Oh my
I've
goodness,
become
I
friends with
haven't heard
him
that name in so
in
long.
years and years. I remember very vividly, like I would go to like on one of his websites, and then he would have links that would just like send you through the spider web of he had like 10 different websites. And I was like, oh my God, this is like amazing. And I was fascinated by, holy shit, you can actually sell stuff on the internet and make money. And then I started finding out all these forums and stuff like that. There was one back in the day called Anthony Blake Forum that's obviously dead now. And then there was a Warrior Forum and all these different places. And I was like, holy crap, this is awesome. And that's pretty much how it started, man. I didn't know what I was doing. I was actually in sales at that point, and I hated what I was doing. I was making good money, but I was very stressed out. You said the sell me your pen thing. That's from Wolf of Wall Street or Jordan Belfort, which is Wolf of Wall Street. I was actually doing that for a living at that point, in the late 90s. So I literally came from that world, and I was always interested in designing, like graphic design and web design and stuff like that. And I actually quit my job doing that, went back to school for designing websites. And that's how I got into the marketing space. I needed a side hustle when I was in school to make some money. And so I started designing websites for internet marketers at the time. We had these like long sales pages back then. People were using like Microsoft Front Page and all that kind of stuff. I know I'm aging
So
myself at this point.
you jumped in, you joined a couple of forums, you read a couple of books, and just money started flying out of the computer into your bank account. Is that this clouds parted?
Absolutely.
There was music, the angels came,
Would
and
be
you said,
nice, right? It would be
no?
nice. So I was literally trying to sell these websites and nobody was paying for them. At that point, nobody really valued design or anything like that. It was just make something garbage in Microsoft Front Page and do it yourself.
It was so
So I
cheap.
was
It was
actually,
hard to lose money. I think that was a big part of
yeah.
the gold rush, so to speak. You could advertise for like pennies, literally.
Yeah, it was God to go back in that point in time. So I was designing websites for like maybe $200 or $197 because you had to have a seven at the end of your thing. So it was $197, and I literally put my I remember saying to myself, like, I'm pulling my pants down to get business, and I wasn't making any money. I was living at home at the time. I was in my 20, like mid 20s at that point. And I remember really well, like I would go to Starbucks down the street to work. And I wasn't making any money. And I remember saying to myself, like, I'm either going to have to get a job or like figure shit out. And I'm in my car, literally parked in the Starbucks parking lot, about to go in, and my phone rings. And I don't know the number, but I answer it anyways. And it's this guy telling me that he, found my stuff, saw that I did great work. He heard from other people that I did great work, and he wanted me to do a bunch of websites for him. And he had 13 websites that needed to get done. And I was like, in my mind, I was already ma like adding up
Doing
all the
math,
math, like 197 times 13. I was like, oh, fuck, this is real money now. Now we're talking. So we negotiated the deal. And then he said, okay, I'm going to send you the money, like PayPal or something. And I remember going into Starbucks and I'm like refreshing PayPal all fucking day and nothing comes in. And I'm like, motherfucker, man, this was a scam. Somebody prank called me and got my hopes up. And I was so like depressed. Like I thought I got pranked, honestly. And then the next day the money comes in and I was like, holy shit, this was okay. Maybe I was getting a little bit ahead of myself. So the guy's name was Armin Morin. If you've been in the bi business for a while, you know,
He's been on our show, Arvin. He's done a thing or two.
Armin is awesome. I love that guy. I always have like respect and thankful, grateful to him. And so I did this work for him. And it was funny because I thought I was good at designing websites, but I actually sucked. I was good at designing them. I sucked at coding them. And I had to make 13 websites that were identical, just different colors, different graphics. And I was like, oh, this is going to take no time. I just swap out the graphics and everything. And I sucked at HTML. I taught myself. And it literally, I had this one part of the page that was like supposed to be like 1 pixel by 1 pixel. And for some reason on one of the pages, it just didn't change. And it took me 4 fucking days to figure out what was wrong. And it was literally instead of a zero, I had nothing instead of a zero. It was something stupid. And I was like ready to kill myself. So I did the work for him. He was super happy with the work. And then he invites me to his seminar. He was used to run these seminars called Big Seminar. This one, I think, was in Los Angeles at the time. And it was literally like shit or get off the pot moment for me. It was like the end of 2004. And I said, either I'm going to make it at this point or I'm going to go get a job. So I go to his seminar. He invites me to come and I go to Vistaprint.com. You remember
Yeah, you
back
get the
then, they
business
were doing
cards.
free business
Yeah.
cards. I got like a
Oh,
box of free business cards and it literally said like on one side, does your website suck? And then the other side, I can help you. Here's my and the website. So I'm carrying this box around with me and I'm in shock, right? There's 300 or 400 people in this room. Like I had no idea the industry was that big until I actually went to a live event. I just thought it was like just a few random.
right. No one's making
So
money
I go to
with
this event.
it.
Yeah, it was crazy though at that point. It was bigger than I actually thought. So I'm in the event. I'm in the back of the room standing up. It's pitch black and he's on stage. And I don't know how he saw me or anything to this day. And at one point he goes, how many people here need a website? And this is before ClickFunnels, before anything. Like you needed a web designer to build anything for you. And everybody's raising their hand. And he goes, I've never hired anybody to do my websites except for one person. And he's in the back of this room. And literally, like the spotlight shines on me in the back of the room. And he goes, if I was you, I would get his information and have him do your website. And I swear to God, people were like jumping over the fucking chairs,
Yeah, to get my
like trying to get. And I had this pack of business. I was literally holding out the box like this. And people were just like all 500 cards were gone in a matter of like minutes. It was insanity. I was like, holy crap.
what just happened?
Yeah. And that people were following me into the bathroom. Like, I had to go to the bathroom after. People were like following me in the bathroom trying to talk to me. And I didn't want to be rude, but I was like, guys, I need to take a leak.
Got a pinch of loaf. Give me some space.
It was insane. And that literally set me up for a while. But I really got the idea. Holy crap. Like, I saw these people speak and I was taking a lot of notes during the whole time. I try to really soak it all in. And I, at that point, I got the idea to make a product. And so I was single at the time. I was in my mid-20s and I became really good at online dating, match.com. I was like crushing it. I had friends asking me for help. Their friends were messaging me, asking me for help.
Yeah,
And I started seeing.
it's a good testing ground if you're single on your marketing prowess.
Yeah, it was great. And so I met a few people. One of them was working for a guy that was selling dating products at the time. It was like a $20 million a year business. And he apparently told his boss about me and what I was doing because he saw all the crazy. He was a friend of mine and he saw the crazy shit I was doing. So he said, hey, my boss wants to interview you. And I was like, fuck yeah, let's do it. So his boss was Eben Pagan. The website was doubleyourdating.com
What was
and
the website?
doubleyourdating.com. If you're
Yeah.
a guy and you were on the internet back then,
You knew.
everybody knew it. Everybody knew it. So they tell me they're supposed to do this interview. And they tell me, so I do this interview with them. And we had a good conversation. It went really well. And then they tell me that they're going to release the interview in a few months. They have to edit it and everything like that. So I wasn't, ex I figured I had a couple of months to make the product. And that was not the case. literally like 2 or 3 weeks later, I wake up with a hangover on a Saturday morning. I go to my computer, I check my email, and there's literally 300 or 400 emails, just random emails. And they all basically say the same thing. I heard your interview. I went to the website that you mentioned at the end, and there's nothing there. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
So I message a few of these guys back. I'm like, what interview are you talking about and what website are you talking about?
Yeah.
And they told me the double you're dating. So apparently they released the interview without telling me like a few weeks later.
Yep.
And I had to, I sat up like all day making a web page, like just collecting opt-ins. And who knows how many opt-ins I lost because of that period of time. I ended up building a list at this point of 1,788 people. I like vividly remember this number. You always remember your first success. So I build this list and I still don't have a product. I'm like, oh shit, I don't want these people to go cold. I've got to figure out what to do. I've got to stall them. I need delay tactics. So I start writing emails. And I, in each email, I'm like sharing something that I'm doing, a tip or technique or whatever. And there's no call to action. The call to action is literally like, the product is coming. I'm working on it. When it's ready, I'll let you know. And it's the truth. I really had nothing to sell them. So now I need to figure out the product. And I'm working on a Mac. And back in, this is early 2005. There was like no like ScreenFlow or anything for the Mac. There was like one screen capture software that was like shit. So I'm like, what do I do? So now I'm like, okay, who do I know that has a PC that I can use? So I call one of my buddies and I'm like, go out for the weekend. Let me use your computer. I'm going to crash in your apartment for a couple of days. And I literally for 2 days sat at the computer. I didn't move. And I downloaded Camtasia. And I just made all these videos. I made like 50 videos in 2 days. And I didn't know how to put it up on a membership site back then. That was just too complicated for me. So I literally just burned it on a CD, on a DVD. And
it worked. That was fine back then. That was fine back then.
Yeah, it was fine. And I sent it off to a fulfillment company. And then I was like, okay, what do I do? And now I got to start selling the thing. So I basically said there's 500 copies or whatever. I'm only going to sell this for this price with these videos for a certain, you know, number. And then I'm going to start taking stuff off if I feel like maybe there's a couple of videos I feel like I shouldn't have shared. So I launch it and I sold it for $97. Back then we had no upsells. Nobody even heard of an upsell before. There was no one-click technology back then. It was literally like you just sell your product and that's it.
Yeah.
There was no high ticket stuff back then either.
Yeah.
Nobody like, you did the internet because you didn't want to speak to somebody on the phone and you wanted to just sell stuff. So sold it for $97. I sold 398 copies in the first week. The first day, I think I did $39,000 in sales. At that point, I literally had $2,000 to my name.
Wow.
Like, no bullshit.
It's life-changing.
Life-changing. And I literally remember saying to myself, holy fuck, I felt like I just had a superpower that I discovered in myself.
You're the caveman that just discovered fire.
Something like that. Yeah. Like I just discovered I'm a mutant and I have this superpower that I never knew I had.
Yeah.
And I remember telling myself, holy fuck, my life is never going to be the same.
And then you spend all that money and don't make it back as fast. I'm not
foreshadowing.
I'm just saying that what happened to me. I'm like, I'm rich, bitch. Wait. No,
I did that before. I did that before when I was doing the Wolf of Wall Street stuff. So I already learned my lesson. I already did that when I was much younger. So I did really well. Like the first month, I think I did $100,000 in sales. And I was like, holy shit, this is life changing. And then my dad was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So I literally went from this, like from down here to up here, all the way up here. And then I literally just dropped. And so I had this like train that was taking off and just running. And I was trying to hold on to it the whole time. But reality, like my head wasn't in it. My heart wasn't in it. I was really just more focused on spending time with my dad and trying to help him overcome that and sucked. I think if looking back, obviously you can't change things. But if that didn't happen, I know I would have been able to make a lot more money. But sometimes the universe, God has different plans for you. And so it really gave me the ability to not have to go to work and really just spend as much time as I could with my dad. And I'm so grateful for that because that's really the gift. So anyways, like I had this offer run for probably about 13 years total. And then the industry just died off when social media started taking off. As you can imagine, like dating stuff just didn't do good. It's just not the type of thing that you run with. I was doing really well with it. Probably at the end of 2010, I was running it with a sales letter and stuff like that, and just a lot of daily email. That was my thing. And then my mom got cancer. My mom had breast cancer at the end of 2010. Luckily, they caught it early. She's fine. But literally the whole time, it's enabled me to spend time with my dad and my mom, obviously. It's allowed me to take care of my mom when after my dad passed away. And that worked really well. And so I didn't go crazy spending money during that time. I think I did like $3 million, $3.1 million over that 13-year period. It sounds like a lot, but if you divide it in 13 years, it's not like tons of money, right?
Yeah, but for the amount of for being highly automated the way it is, when
Yeah, I
SureBeats,
would work about an hour or two a day, honestly. I would really literally work some days like 30 minutes. I would just write one. I was spending a lot of time doing stuff like we all do. And then you realize 80-20 rule, like what's really making the money? And so for me, it was like I already had traffic coming in, so I didn't have to focus on that. I would just write an email every day and I would sell stuff. And so that was really like all I did, write an email a day, and then that was it. So yeah, that's how it morphed from designing websites to going to the seminar to boom, having this crazy offer. I hit number one in ClickBank. It did really well. And yeah, man,
That's
that's kind
fantastic.
of how it started.
So now, having seen and gone through the history and seeing where now, what would you recommend for someone starting out and struggling? Like, do they just make a sales letter and write an email a day and they're gonna make it, or?
I think you really have to find your frequency. Everybody's different. I was good at email. I hated doing videos. I had a business partner in the dating space. We had a few different offers together. He was awesome on video. The guy looked like a GQ model. He was great on camera. He knew what he was talking when he was what he was saying cold. So for him, we just did videos. Everything was a video. We had these really short emails and just go to video. I hated that shit. So I just wrote emails. When some people are great on podcasts, some people speak really well, they have a great voice, etc. Everybody's different. I don't think there's one overarching thing that you need to do. Obviously, now I run an agency, but that I wouldn't advise that like starting out. I think you have to really develop your skill set in order to get to that point where that can work. But I think really just following your passion, number one, is a good thing because then it doesn't seem like work. Finding what's hot. Obviously, now AI is super hot, and figuring out where you can fit in with that is a good thing.
Okay. That's anything. So find what's hot, find your passion, find a way to connect with the audience, I guess.
Yeah, if you can figure out what's hot with what your passion is, that's a great way. If you like writing and AI is hot, how can you combine those things? If you're technical and you love coding and stuff, maybe how can you figure that out with AI? Coding and building software maybe or something like that. If you're an operations type of person where you love running a business and you're good at that, how can you figure that out with the type of businesses that are out there now? You have to really figure out. I have a friend that sells info products and his like the biggest thing that I admire about him and the way that he's been able to stay relevant for 15 plus years, he's really good at riding the wave, is what I call it. He finds whatever the wave is at the time and he figures out how he can ride that wave. And he just does it over and over and over. He builds tools that are relevant to the wave. And so he doesn't need to be the expert on that topic. He's just building the tool for that topic. So that's a really great skill. But yeah, man, for me, I was really good at designing stuff. So I started designing websites, right? And for everybody is really different. It really just depends on the person.
And when it comes to email marketing and SMS marketing, what are some of the biggest mistakes that you see clients and other entrepreneurs making? Not the people that are starting out, but the people that are, running. What are the biggest mistakes?
Most of them are not doing email correctly. Very few of them are doing SMS. Very few. But in terms of email, people think that if I'm already doing email, that I already have it covered, right? They don't realize that they have a problem. They just think I'm doing it. Like, I don't need any help. I'm already doing it. But when you dig in deeper, yeah, you're doing it, but you're missing like half the automations. Your campaigns suck. You have spam issues. You're not using your list correctly. There's so many issues that you find, and it's repetitive. It's over and over again. I don't think I've done an audit in 7 years where we haven't found one the same issue. It's always the same issues over and over again. So it's, what they say, like market levels of sophistication. They're not even problem aware. They don't even realize that they have a problem when in fact they actually do. And so that's definitely the most common. Those are the most common things. SMS, they just don't even realize it. And SMS is probably the freest money that you can get. Now, there's a caveat. You can't do like business type stuff with it. You can't sell like investment type stuff. You can't do CBD. You can't do mushrooms. you can't sell investment type products or services or make money type products. You
How do
cannot
people
do
find
that.
out what you can and can't do with SMS?
You just have to Google it. The software providers usually will have some info on their websites about it.
Okay.
Some of the providers, maybe if it's like an email provider, maybe like ActiveCampaign, are very lax with that type of stuff, but you'll get shut down by the carriers. So by the AT&T, by T-Mobile, those are the carriers that they use to actually send those messages. But more important is there's actual litigators that are looking actively for people with, that are on SMS that are uncompliant. So if you're not collecting, if you're not, you don't have the proper compliance stuff when you're collecting SMS phone numbers, they'll actually file a lawsuit and they'll win. I've seen it. I've seen people have to pay $50,000, $100,000 fines. And these people are actively looking for this stuff, at least on e-commerce side. We use a platform called attentive.com. It's specifically built for e-commerce and they're very compliance focused. It makes it easy for us. We don't have to worry about if a brand is not compliant or anything like that.
How do
So it's
you
really,
use the
really
list
important.
correctly? You mentioned that a lot of people aren't using their list correctly. That's for some people listening, that might sound like a weird statement. How do you use a list correctly? Don't you build a list to send the messages? So you just send the
Well,
messages?
you're never mailing your entire list because you have people on your list that are not opening your emails consistently. And so if you keep emailing them and they keep not opening them, you're essentially going to lower your ability to email everybody else. So you have to segment your list. And what often happens is people are segmenting based on engagement. So people that have opened an email or been to my website in the last 60 days, 30 days, 90 days, 120 days, those are like the most common. And so they keep using that segment over and over and over. And so what ends up happening is, if you think about it, let's say, Daryl, you came to Nike.com 6 months ago. You bought a bunch of shoes. Now you're on their list. You're getting emails, but you don't need any shoes. You bought a bunch of stuff, so you could care less. You're not opening any emails. You're not going back to Nike.com for a few months. And so now, when it comes time for me to send an email and I'm sending email to people that have engaged in the last 90 days, you're not on that list because you haven't opened an email in 90 days. You haven't been to the website in 90 days. So now, if I keep using that segment, you're never going to get an email from me again because you're not engaged in 90 days. But you're a customer and maybe you will buy something again, like very likely would, but you're not getting those emails because I'm only using that segment over and over again. And so this is what happens all the time, is they just keep reusing the segments. I just did an audit today. That's a pretty big brand. They have, I'm going to say, about 64,000 emails on the list active, and about 23,000 have not received an email in the last 90 days that should.
So
That's a lot
because,
of emails.
yeah, because people forget about you after about 21 days or so.
Yeah, and it's exactly because of the situation that I described. They're only mailing those engaged segments of the list, and you're not giving people the opportunity to become engaged. So maybe once a month, you should email your entire list once or twice a month. Give people the opportunity to get on that engaged segment. And so that's usually the biggest reason for these chunks of audience. I see it all the time. 10% of the list not getting mailed that should, up to maybe 50%. I've seen as high as 60 or 70%.
So it sounds like the best way to use a list is to segment it, perhaps by RFM categories, and to have a strategy for the most engaged, but then to constantly try to fill that bucket, so to speak, with the rest of the list.
It depends what you're selling. E-commerce stuff is definitely more sophisticated than your typical internet type stuff, like info products, etc. Coaching, consulting, that type of stuff. Software is way, way more. You're talking enterprise level software versus just normal type software. The stuff that you're able to segment on is way more advanced and detailed than you can with regular type stuff. So it really just depends on what you're selling, right?
So, what are some of the habits that you feel your best clients have? You've already mentioned it a little bit indirectly, but to really hit the nail on the head for people, what are some of the habits that are most important for success with email and SMS?
I think number one, you have to have several products. You can't just have one product because, as you can imagine, if I sent you the same emails for the same product every week, like 3 times a week for like months, eventually you're just going to tune it out really quickly. So you have to have multiple products. Some brands just don't have that. And so they have to realize that they're a victim of their own business model. You can't expect to be making the same type of numbers that maybe a big supplement brand is making when they have a consumable product. They have multiple products, like a variety of products that are all complementary, versus a single product just never going to be the same. And so I think you have to have realistic expectations, and people have to be honest with you about that type of stuff. I had this conversation with a brand, what, today's Tuesday, so Monday, they have one product. And I was very honest with them. I told them, you're going to be on the low end of the range in terms of numbers because you only have one product. Now, we can try to figure out ways to get people to buy more of that product, either as a gift, as a replacement, having a replacement on hand, et cetera. But it's not, you're not going to hit the numbers that like a supplement brand that's doing that has 50 products is going to do. It's just not realistic. And so you just have to be realistic with the expectations.
Yeah, I love that. Where do you see the future of things going with this industry? We've got AI, there's a lot of tech disruption, there's geopolitical disruption with supply chains. Where do you see things going in the next 5 years or so? What are you watching come down the
I mean,
pipeline?
it's just going to keep getting bigger. AI is obviously huge, and the tools will get more and more sophisticated. My agency's really fully AI driven at this point. We've built a bunch of custom tools around that type of stuff. Things on the internet change really quickly, and you have to adapt regardless of what it is. You've been online for a while, I'm sure, and I know we have a lot of mutual friends and stuff. You remember people back in the day that were doing really well and just never were able to adapt, maybe to social media. I remember guys back when I started that were like the biggest guys in the industry, and they just were not able to adapt to social media, and they just vanished, or they're struggling. And so one ability is you have to be able to adapt to the changes. And if you're not, eventually you're just going to get wiped out in the dust. And so it's just really important. Like when I started doing the dating stuff, we were using sales pages, these long sales pages. Back in when my mom got cancer, what was it, like 2010? Video sales letters were starting to come out really big. I had to adapt. I had a friend that was doing really well with it. I went to New York. I flew to New York to stay with him, and we worked on a new video sales letter for me, and I just turned it into that. I never got the success he had. He was doing like 8 figures a month or something like that, I heard.
Insane.
God bless. You had to adapt.
So is that sales letters don't work anymore? Is that what you're trying to say? Everything's a video sales letter now?
No, I think everything has a cycle. I think now we're at the point where you don't need to try as hard. I think social media does a lot of heavy selling for people, building goodwill. The days of being able to fake it are gone. If you're trying to sell, for example, like a stock trading thing, and people don't can't find you on social media, and if they do find you on social media, and you don't showcase that, or you don't have the lifestyle that displays that you're doing well with that, you're not going to sell shit. And so social media has really allowed people that if you're legitimate with what you're doing, you can show it. And it really makes the ability to sell much easier. You know, you don't have to do these crazy sales pages. There's people that just literally have a link tree on their Instagram, and it's just like, here's some options. Go to the sales page and just buy it, or just go to the shopping cart and buy it. There is no sales page.
Yeah, I guess it depends on the
So
price point, but I get what you're saying 100%.
yeah, there's people that use Gumtree. You have a simple little description of something, and boom. There's a lot of people on LinkedIn, for example, just selling stuff off of LinkedIn posts or simple DM conversations. There's so many different ways to sell things now. And I think the ability to build goodwill and trust with social media has really just changed the game. You don't have to have these crazy sales pages anymore.
Yeah, I love that. Let's dive into that deeper. What are some specific skills or behavior that you think are important? You already said one right there.
Important for what?
To succeed in today's world. Again, you talk about being able to adapt, but even just now you said that you said it and I was like, that's really good. And I went to write it down and I forgot it. But you're talking about people selling via DM or off a LinkedIn post or Gumtree. So
Yeah, there's so many different ways to sell. You just got to figure out what works for you. But number one, you've got to be able to build an audience, regardless of what you're selling, right? You have to be able to build an audience. Think of that in old school ways as traffic or opt-in, a list. Think of social media as both your traffic source and your email list, right? So you're using your social media following as a list. Think of posting on social media as sending an email to your list, right? So, and think of it as a sales page also, because there's nothing saying that you can't make a post that's literally selling a product, right? just like a sales letter. There's nothing saying that you can't post a video selling a product as a post, right? And so you can get people to send you a DM if they want the link to buy it. And now they're reaching out to you and you can follow up with them. And so there's so many different ways to do things now. A lot of people get focused on, oh, I need a website or that type of thing, but you don't really don't. I mean,
No,
I
yeah, a
see
lot
people
of
all the
people,
time doing that.
yeah. I showed you a product that we're getting ready to launch, and one of my partners got to get the website ready. I was like, bro, I've just been talking to people. I've already got three, four distributors lined up. I got five people that are interested, and this is a high ticket, like $90,000 thing. Like, I just been talking to people, man. I have another client. He was doing the same thing. He was like, I'm gonna sit in Kajabi. I'm gonna build this web page, this member area. I was like, bro, you just need to send an email to your list and get them on Zoom. That's what you do. And he did it, and then he did one, and he made some sales, and then. This was maybe like in September. And then he was talking about planning the next webinar in January. I was like, what are you talking about? I don't want to harass my list. I was like, what are you talking about? What about you got 100 people that registered and half of them didn't show? Why don't you invite the ones that didn't show to a follow-up tomorrow? Tomorrow. He's like, oh.
We tend to overcomplicate things. Like, it's just human
Yeah.
nature. How
Yeah.
do I figure out the most complicated way to do this? For the first 3 or 4 years of having my agency, we didn't have a website. I was literally just selling people, and I didn't even do Zoom calls for the first 2 years. I was literally just DMing back and forth on Facebook Messenger with people, and I would sell them in Facebook Messenger. I would send them a link to the shopping cart to Stripe, and then boom, and they would
I love
pay.
it. I love it.
I didn't know any better. Honestly, I just didn't know any better. And then I found out that you can use a slide deck, and then you put them on a Zoom call, and then you go through your slide deck. And I was like, oh shit, a slide deck? What do I
Yeah,
put in the slide deck? And
that's what.
so then I went down that whole rabbit hole. But yeah, you don't need all that stuff, man. There's
Yeah.
people doing millions of dollars a month with just their Instagram or
Yep.
their LinkedIn and a shopping cart. No
Yep.
sales pages or anything.
Yep. Yeah, I think it really comes down to just having something of merit, having something valuable, being able to prove it does what you say it'll do. I think those are really important. You talked about using your social media as a sales letter. That's the whole kind of Jeff Walker launch thing, where it's a sideways sales letter. So what that means is that you think about the steps someone goes through to a sale, and you just space those out over days or weeks, and you just rinse and repeat. Probably spending a lot more time on the beginning part versus the end part. And I think that's where a lot of people go wrong. Everybody, that's Chet Holmes. Everyone's focused on the 3% that are ready to buy now, not the 97% that are somewhere in between aware and ready to buy. There's not a lot
And
going
that's
on
why you
in
need
between.
content. That's why, like Gary Vee says, you need to keep producing content every single day. And you keep producing content, you keep making offers, and eventually people hear every couple of days, people will buy. People will buy. And in the meantime, you just keep building trust, you keep building goodwill, and eventually you never know where people are in the space, right? The problem with like selling dating products is somebody just doesn't wake up today and say, fuck, like I need to buy like a dating product to help me get girls or help me get a girlfriend. Nobody wakes up to that. But somebody might go out on a date at some point in the future here, have a really shitty time. Maybe the girl rejects him. He tries to kiss her and she says no, or she says, I would just want to be friends. And when that event happens, they say, oh shit, I need this. And you want to be top of mind for when that event does happen, they remember you. And that's why you just got to keep producing content, right? Valuable content. Demonstrate authority, demonstrate value. And so whether it's Instagram, LinkedIn, Snapchat, TikTok, whatever channel it is, could be all of them. You just keep producing content, right? I write content every single day. It took me a while to get to that point. And sometimes it's still a struggle, but I try every single day to pump out a piece of content. Some people are religious with that. If you look on their Instagram stories, like all day they're producing content, right? They're filming themselves and they make offers, right? And so there's so many ways to do it. Just don't get limited.
I love that. I think that's good. There's the whole AIDA, attention, interest, desire, action. Gary, you talked about Gary Vee. I remember seeing some video of his, and the one thing that stuck with me that I thought was great was everybody needs to be doing 10 times more content, but 80% of your focus needs to be on the ads that drive your business. So you got to 10x your content output. And it's got to be quality content. It's almost like the diet, the catch 22. Like everyone needs more. You need to have an excellent, constantly improving, world-class product and service. But 80% of your focus needs to be on bringing new people in. Retention is the most important thing, but 80% of your focus has to be new people through the door. Like it's just this weird kind of yin yang sort of thing, right?
You have to, I think you have to pick and choose your battles. How many people do we know that have very simple products, but just do great marketing them and they do really well? And so it's not hard to do better than that, right? If you make your product just a little bit better, you can do better. It's not about build it and they will come. You can build it and nobody gives a flying fuck. And so the money is made by marketing and selling. And so Gary's right. You have to put your effort into that, building the audience. When I started my agency, I was in a completely different niche. I went into e-commerce. Nobody knew who I was, right? I literally went on my Facebook, my friends list, and I had to get rid of so many people that were not engaging with my new stuff because it wasn't relevant to them. And so I literally just had to build it back up from scratch. And so you have to build up the audience, right?
That's a really
So
important
you
thing,
can
and
be.
the content has to be on theme as well. You can't be sharing cat videos and think that those people are gonna, hey, follow me and I'll follow you back, and then that's gonna turn into a sale somewhere. It really isn't. You have
Yeah, I mean,
to.
there's two parts to it, right? You have to be producing the content, but at the same time, you need the right people seeing your content. So you've got to be adding these people to your social media following, connecting with the right people that are going to benefit from the content. You can produce the greatest content, but if you have nobody that's looking at it or the wrong people looking at it, for what are you wasting your time for? So you've got to have both.
I love, all great stuff. This has been a fantastic call. Dave, I want to be respectful of your time. Is there anything I haven't asked you yet that I should have asked you?
No, I think we
Yeah,
covered
we
a lot of stuff, man.
covered a whole gamut. People may want to listen to this more than once to make sure you get all the nuggets out of it. If people want to learn more, if they want to get in touch, if they want to get an audit, if they want to get you to take a look at their stuff, what's the best way for them to connect?
The agency website is theemailexperience.com. So you could just go there and do whatever you need to do, or just connect with me on social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever, Instagram. Yeah,
Okay.
that's basically it.
Check out theemailexperience.com. That's theemailexperience.com. Or go look up Dave Miz, MIZ or Z, depending on where you are in the world. Dave, MIZ or Z. Check him out. Give him a follow. Clearly, he's going to be producing content when you get there. So maybe you'll pick up a couple other nuggets. And Dave, just thank you so much for coming and sharing. I knowing that you got your own following, your own audience, your own clients, your own community. Thank you for coming and sharing with my audience and I so we could all do a little bit better.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.